Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Let's start from verse 14 of Romans 7. 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And anytime I read the scripture, I somehow want to reiterate, reemphasize, or make it clear that this is not Paul's present reality at that time. So that Christians will not use it today and say, we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold on the sin. Look at the next part of scripture. In fact, he said in verse 15, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. That was not Paul's present reality at the time he was speaking. Are we together? Because if you don't understand it like this, you would think that was Paul's present reality. Alright, Apostle Paul here was trying to write to a people who were living from a wrong philosophy or by a wrong philosophy. And I'd said before, quoting Luke 6, that when you are on a wrong philosophy, the Bible likens the wrong philosophy to be as what? Sinking sand. Can you remember? And that if you're on a wrong philosophy, again, I think it was Matthew 15:9, that says, in vain they worship me because they take as doctrines the teachings of men. Alright, so when you are standing on the teachings of men, you are more like standing on what? Sinking sand. And in Luke 6, the Bible says, when the flood of life and all the troubles of life hit on you, you will sink to the ground because you were founded a building. You are as a building founded on sinking sand. And Jesus spoke to us, he said, the wise builder digs the ground so well and builds his house on the rock. Alright, and what's that rock? Christ Jesus, who is the word of God. In other words, if you are made up of God's word, you are on the rock. And when the pressures of life hit you so well, you will not fall to the ground because you are a building, or as a building founded on the rock. Are you people here tonight? Are you understanding me? So here Paul is saying that he had a wrong experience to a people, writing to a people that dared to or were living by a wrong philosophy at that time. Why was it a wrong philosophy? Because a new order had come. Alright? You got to come back here. But Romans 6:14. And everybody should read. Romans 6:14. Now everybody, let's read. One to go. Why? But, in other words, if you are under the law, sin can have dominion over you. Alright, so, even if you are a sincere person, if you are living by the law, you will still find yourself in sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Why? Because you are trying to live by the law. By sincere person, I mean, you have told the Lord before that you don't want to live in sin. You had cried to the Lord, probably you found yourself in one or two habits, and you told God, I really don't want to live this kind of way, you know. You cried to the Lord, you told him. The Bible said your crying and your tears is not the reason why you stop sin. As long as you are under a wrong mentality, which is the law, the Bible said what will happen? Sin will have what? Dominion. Because that's like standing on sinking sand. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now, this is why Paul was writing in Romans 7. In verse 1, I'd shown you before, but just for some of us coming for the first time or hearing for the first time, see what he said in verse 1 of Romans 7, where we were. He said, or do you not know, brethren, for I what? I speak to them that what? That the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Alright? In other words, Paul is like, I'm speaking to them that know the law. Let's just stand on the A part of this scripture. I speak to them that know the law. In other words, if you read it, see Paul addressing people that are trying to live by the law. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Everything written under Romans 7 is Paul related to people or speaking to a people that are trying to live by the law. He said, do you not know that I speak to them that live by the law? And I said, what is the word for knowledge here? If you had been here, the Greek word is what? Huh? What's the Greek word again? Ginosko. And what does it mean? Which simply means knowledge, which is a direct function of what? Experience. So the reason why you know that fire is hot is because you have touched fire before, isn't it? The reason why Paul knows that nobody can live by the law is because he had tried to live by the law before, isn't it? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So Paul, being a Pharisee before, was writing to his fellow initial brothers, or his former fellow brothers, right? That as long as they are trying to live by the law, then he went to verse 14. He said, the law, the part of the law, are a part of a spiritual man. He said, do not steal is a part of a spiritual man. Do not lie is a part of a spiritual man. Do not commit adultery, fornication is a part of a spiritual man. He said, but while we're living by the law, we were sold under the nature of what? Sin and death. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Are you here? That is what the Bible said in 1 Timothy. Let's read that scripture. Can you remember? It said the law was 1:9. 1 Timothy 1:9. It said the law was not given to the righteous people. It was not made for the righteous people. Now look at what Paul said. It said the law are the ways of a spiritual man, but I am sold under the nature of what? Affirming these very words of Paul to Timothy. That the law was not written for what? Righteous people, but for the unrighteous. He said the law was written for what? The insubordinate, for the what? And for what? For what? For what? And murderers of what? For what? Man, all sort of sinners. That's why Paul said, the things that I want to do, I find my... It was not... Meaning when the law came to them, they were not righteous. That's why the law came to them. He had another nature while he was trying to live by the law. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And that's why in verse 15, Paul said, the things I don't want to do, he said, what I hate, what I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. And what I like to do, I don't do it. Hallelujah to Jesus. In other words, if you try to live by the law, or you try to live by human effort, the things you don't want to do, you find yourself what? Doing it. But the things you don't want to do, you are supposed to do, you will not do it. So when we say the law here, don't just be thinking of the law of Moses and stop there. It was people trying to reach God by human effort. That's what the law means in summary. We can see that in Romans 10. Yeah, Romans 10 from verse 1. Let's read it. Romans 10 from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for who? Are people trying to live by the law? He said, is that they may be what? So Paul here is praying for Israel to be saved. A whole Israel. Next part of scripture. He said, for I bear in mind that they have a zeal for God. But that zeal they have for God is not according to knowledge. You seen that, right? They have a zeal for God, but the zeal they have for God is not according to knowledge. It's just scattered. It's not guarded. Alright? Like you see people, you know, I was complaining to my wife. You see people praying these days on Facebook. You see some people praying and they are almost looking like robots. We're not trying to insult them. But they look like they are. Something is wrong with them. It's a zeal for God, but it's not guarded by knowledge. Alright? And if you ask them why are they praying, you'll be so disappointed. They are praying to kill a witch. And that's why they look like a witch itself. You know, it's terrible. Hallelujah to Jesus. You can't be praying 2 hours to kill a witch. You are an unserious Christian. Pastor Simon, what do you mean by that? Yeah, I mean it. You don't pray to edify a witch, to kill a witch. You pray in tongues to edify yourself. Do you know why it seems like you pray about a particular case and it takes weeks? Huh? Firstly, it is because of the law of expectation. Some of you say in 1 week time, God will speak to me. That's why he spoke to you in 1 week time. Because the Bible says God meets the expectation of what? The righteous. The meeting point between you and God is expectation. If you expected God to speak to you in 1 week, He will speak to you in 1 week. If you expect God to speak to you in 2 days, He will speak to you in what? 2 days. If you expect God to speak to you in 2 hours, He will speak to you in what? 2 hours. That's number one. Number two again is because why you are praying in tongues, the reason why the devil is still happening to your family or your life and are not changed, he probably something after 20 weeks of fasting and prayer, then the demon was blasted out. It didn't take 20 weeks for the demon to be removed. While praying for 20 weeks, what the Holy Spirit was doing was walking you into the stature of the Christ, getting you edified by tongues. Tongues does not kill witches. The purpose of tongues is to edify the saints. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So that when you go to a point in the spirit, then when you declare something, at that point, when you touch the apex of your reality, your office, when you touch that office by praying in the spirit, when you got edified enough, when you now spoke a word, suddenly you saw power released. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Bible says prayer causes tremendous power to be made available. In other words, you are praying to make power available on your inside. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So it was not because the demon was so powerful that you needed so much time to pray. No. But while you were praying, you were the one getting edified to a point that you can speak to the demon and it will leave. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you understanding me tonight? So when we say somebody is taking 2 hours to pray the devil down, it's a function of ignorance. Somebody cannot take 2 hours to pray Satan down. I can't. My prayer life, now listen again, my prayer life is not solely for killing Satan. The Bible said the design of man from the beginning was to pray, to commune with God. The Bible said, He said a parable to the end that men ought to pray, else they would. Meaning, we were designed by God to be a praying people, to commune with Him from the very beginning. So, before there was Satan, there was actually prayer. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Before there was Satan, there was prayer. From the beginning, God designed prayer as a tool to communicate with His creation, we, His choicest creation. So prayer is older than Satan. And that is why we can't say prayer is for destroying Satan. That's why I was against a popular song one time. You know, people were wondering, why are you against the song? You know, I was against that song because it will infuse in us a mentality that the reason for prayer is to destroy Satan. No, it was to commune with God. And anybody that communes with God, you know, let me use physics terms. By prayer, as you commune with God, or by communicating or communing with God in prayer, indirectly, you are destroying Satan. Indirectly, you are becoming a negation to Satan. Because you cannot be so much cluttered and relatable with light, and darkness will be coming close to you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't see me so much into light, and darkness is close. Is it possible? And that's why I was against that song. It's a popular song, and it may hurt a lot of people if I talk about the song. But it's the truth. Because if we are wise, we'll take corrections. The word of God is for reproof, teaching, correction, doctrine, exhortation, right? Instruction in righteousness, till we all become perfect for God to use us more properly, isn't it? That the song that says, I asked the interpretation because the song was making a lot of sense, you know, the melody was so nice. But I don't just follow melody, because your song is your confession. You know, I heard a pastor saying that he went for a wedding reception of a Christian, and they were playing a song, "Even your boo has a boo." And the man was dancing, and his wife was dancing too. And she was telling her husband, you know, in the dance, "Even your boo has a boo." Then they were now dancing. Now, he now said, "You are telling your husband that even him, who is your boo, has a boo. Now, instead of crying, you are now happy. Even my boo has a boo. Hey. Then you are not surprised at the end that he has a boo. Why are you surprised? It's like carrying poison or acid to bath with and being surprised of the effect of acid on you. Pastor Simon, You miss a worldly song, now acid, spiritual acid. No, no, but that we are not feeling it. It has effect in the supernatural. In the Old Testament, we saw how music was relatable to worship. That when they blew a sound, the people would bow down and worship. But there was a man that refused, Daniel. When you sing and dance or vibe to worldly song, you are worshipping Satan. They play a song, for instance, and say, one terrible bad thing inside. Then you now dance. What are you doing? And music is powerful. Something you can never say with your mouth. They will say it in music, you will dance. You will not only say it, you will say it and dance. Something that on a natural day, you will never say with your mouth. Now, how many of you on a natural day will say, give me one deadly worldly song? That one did not even say it's demonic, but that's not really what we are looking for. Something more deadlier than that. The words. Huh? What? I sip my alcohol. No, something more deadlier than this. Okay. What you did like this, shake of your bum bum. Alright. let's use that song. You know, I just the way you describe it, that was done. Now, he said we should talk about that one. Now, imagine that song. Alright? Shake Up Your Bum Bum by Timaya. So unbelievable, I'm even saying this thing with my mouth. Now, Timaya, who is a worldly singer, wrote a song and was telling people to shake their bum bum. Was telling ladies to shake their bum bum. How many of you on the natural, they will look at the lady and say, shake your bum bum? You will feel weird. In fact, if we are walking down the street and a young boy just looked at you, a lady and said, shake your bum bum, elderly people will say, stop, that's rubbish. Don't flog him. Are you mad? You don't have home training. But you know that elderly man can be singing, shake your bum bum, shake your bum bum, shake your bum. And people will not be angry with him. They will still join him on that. Oh, shake the bum bum, shake the bum bum. Music. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say now? What you not say on a normal day, music will make you say it. That's why music is powerful. Don't joke with music. Why do you think the devil is influencing a lot of people? He just put it in a nice beat. Nice beat. You see a Christian, he will not know where the time his head will start doing like this. Oh boy, maybe the words, not the beat. Not the beat I like, maybe the words. Can you separate the beat from the words? How comes when they sing the song, you remember everything? You that wanted only beat. You know verse 1, verse 2, the bridge. But when we tell you, quote 3 parts of scripture, now lie, now die, we did that day. John 3:16, 3 times, that's what you do. In fact, some will miss John 3:16. One time they told somebody to quote the part of scripture, I said, Jesus wept. But tell somebody, oh yeah now, give me that song. I feel like... They will vibe it from the beginning. Isn't that like it? Have people not noticed that thing is like a miracle? That a small child... Have you seen small children before singing worldly song? Yes, from verse 1. In fact, the mother of the my picking intelligent to go to school is last, is carrying. Last. But when he's batting, first. I saw one video somebody posted on Facebook. A woman was dancing, facing the camera from her back, and the child now was doing the same thing. Then she was now shocked and slapped the child. Question is, why are you slapping the child? You think you need to tell the child dance before the child will dance? They are watching you. Almost all of us here, our fathers and mothers influence us in one way or another, whether you like it or not. They did. They don't need to say do it. As you watch them, you learn. There was a lady that told me she hated men many years ago in Lagos. So I was laughing. Why do you hate men? How can you say you hate men? God created men for you to like, you hate.
There's a problem.
She said because of her dad.
That the dad was so wicked to her mom. So terrible to her mom. That's why she doesn't believe men are good people. So I now jokingly said, what of me, your pastor? She started laughing. I said, only God knows. I said, imagine.
Only God knows. Even me, self, she doesn't know me, according to her. Only God knows me. Well, truly, only God knows. But it touched me. Because she was actually assuming that me to have the potency to behave like other men. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So she had learned that from her dad. I was hearing, counseling a couple, and the man said, the woman is misbehaving. That even if he is following women, she's not supposed to be angry. She's supposed to pray for him, like our mothers of old were doing. I thought I was dreaming. I looked at the man and said, really? He said, yes, Pastor, is it not so? I said, it's not so. He said his wife was supposed to be praying for him. Now listen, he was complaining, not thinking I'll have a problem. How will my wife be angry with me for cheating? When in our days, my mother, even if my father misbehaved and come back, my mother will cook the best food and come and give him. Then he said, that's why marriages of these days are not lasting. Because women are spoiled. I was so shocked. I tell you the truth, I was very shocked. I didn't know that people like that exist. And he complained bitterly. Duma was just there looking. Then he said something that really touched me. He said, if I tell her to go home now, how will she survive? She doesn't have anything. If I pursue her now. That's why all of you that are waiting for Brazilian, you better make your money. Because if they will say this thing about you if you enter husband house. Because truly, if they pursue you, where will you start from? Mentality. He said he was watching his parents grow up and that's how they live. That's why he's behaving like that to his wife. Hallelujah to Jesus. And there are women too. Not just men. Women that have learned controlling power from their mothers. That's witchcraft. If a man does not do what they want, the man doesn't love them. We saw it from the beginning. That was a problem of creation. Adam, if you love me, eat this fruit. God told Adam, don't eat. Adam, woman told him, if you love me, eat. God has said, don't eat. Woman said, do you really love me? Prove it. Eat. What happened to Adam? He died. Listening to a woman. So every time I say my husband does not listen to me, maybe he's trying to keep you alive. Because when he died, him and Eve, they left Eden. And so women have that character. From dating, they've started. Dress like this. I don't like that. Shebi, I told you not to wear this. Wow. Lord of his life. You can guard his dressing. You can say, you cannot wear purple trousers on black suits. We understand. Because some men before they met women were terrible in dressing. Really terrible. Some are wearing yellow shirt on green trousers. Some are wearing things like that. No woman can take that. Then when you pass, instead of laughing for the man, they'll turn towards the lady. He dressed good. I like his dressing. And you must understand why ladies have to talk to you sometimes, because when they say people are one now or about to be one, when people see them, they'll be seeing you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Imagine Pastor Benson and Rose now that they want to marry. If we see Rose with we bomb shot tomorrow in Abuja Street, we will not call her. All of us that know Pastor Benson will not call Rose. The first person who calls Pastor Benson, are you still alive? Are you still in connection with God Almighty? We'll be asking him deep question. Are you sure it is necessary to marry? Why not take the option of being an eunuch?
In fact, somebody like me instead will even travel to Abuja to go and see him. I'm telling you, the next bus to Abuja, I want to see you. I just want to know that you are alive. I want to see you. Is that serious? That's why sometimes ladies will tell you, I beg, don't dress. I know I'm not worthy, but don't dress like this. I beg, put perfume, my brother. You don't understand why they are telling you to put perfume. Maybe their friend, I'm like, this is your boyfriend, they smell nice, though. Then I'll go back and they are embarrassed. The guy just there emits some nice scent. Many years ago on campus, there was a guy was asking out. And I felt that there was nothing bad there, but I didn't support anything well. I was speaking with the lady and I asked her, why is it that you don't like that guy? She said, sir, should I be honest with you? I said, please go ahead, be honest. She said, sir, should I be very honest with you? I said, go ahead there, tell me anything. She said, sir, when he raises his hand, his armpit used to smell. I said, just that? She said, sir, you say just that? Sir, that is everything, no? I can never marry a man that don't scrape his hair from his armpit. Everywhere is smelly. If you don't mistakenly do so, I'll just do like I'm laughing, but I'm actually closing my nose. I called him. I said, young man, he said, sir, I said, your deliverance has come. He said, sir, I don't understand. I said, thus says the Lord, learn to scrape your armpits. Scrape the hair from your armpits. Do it in weeks, 2 weeks. Some of you need to do it every week, self. 2 weeks, 1 month. It depends on the level of growth. Do it. We don't talk about this as a church, but some of you, even in church, if people say, hallelujah, you do like this, amen. Even in church. I'm sure some of you don't want to just say the truth, but no problem, let's not go there. For we embarrass ourselves. Little things like that, they matter. Are you listening to me? So, what is my point? Even ladies too, you know, young men should understand with ladies to a fair extent why they have to really impose. Not really impose, and ladies should not impose. It seems like that a lot of times, and some of them are actually imposing. You know, some of them don't know how to talk. You want to talk to a man. Do you know who a man is? Somebody say a man. You look at a man like this. You know, I've seen something terrible. You know, one time I was in the office and a dear lady shouted, Ella, Jesus! So I rushed out. I thought it was one snake that wanted to hit her. Guess what passed? The thing did not do hi to her. The thing just passed. I think it was lizard or rat. It did not even say, hey, Ella, hi. It just passed on its own. She shouted, Jesus! I was so disappointed. I entered my office. But that same Ella, if for instance she can talk, if you see her talk to a man, some of you, that's how you are. Cockroach have pushed you from the house. Cockroach. It comes like this. You say, Jesus, Jesus, you run for your life. Cockroach. But you look at the man and say, who are you? A man that uses his left leg to kick cockroach. So learn to talk, know how to talk to men. Make men feel like they are kings when you talk to them. Hey, look at them. Yeah. Some of you didn't learn it at home. You want to marry a man. I don't mean every man now in this church. When you see a lady after service, they talk to me like a king. That's not what I said. Some ladies are your senior in the spirit. The only lady you have authority over is the one that is your wife. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Outside your wife, don't go and joke before you collect in the spirit. So if you want to talk to a man, for instance, you don't like the way he dressed, purple or yellow, it's the way you talk to him. Hi, honey. Don't boss. I know you want to boss. Calm down. As well. But don't you think black would have been better? You dress nice. Just lie that lie. You look nice, but Don't you think black would have been better with this? I think next time you should use black. Then you now arrange his collar. Do you know he'll be happy? That dress you said he may wear it all his life. That combination you are saying. It's the truth. Anytime he wants to go to church now, he will remember how you arrange his collar. How you spoke to him. His head will just scatter. It will scatter. He will wear it and come. But if you now want to talk to him, say, everybody they dress well. Everybody they dress well. This one just carry. Wait till you not know. He just carry wait till you not know. Enter church confidently. They disgrace himself. Say na me they disgrace. God give people men. See what thing God give me. People they collect men. Mate Satan I can't collect. Then man is looking at you. He's looking at you. Then the worst, you don't compare him. Did you see courage in church? Even you, don't you like the way, did you see the way courage dress? The man will now, whoo. He's thinking. The thing will pain him. If you are not even careful, you will start beefing courage. Courage will greet you and say, get out from that. You have caused trouble. That's not how to talk to a man. Are you people getting? I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. Talk to them with dignity, with respect, with honor. Abraham called her husband, my Lord. I know you, if they kill you, man, you will not try it. I know. Some of you sit there, even if they put bullet on your head, say, call your husband. He said, God forbid, Batty. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. She called Abraham my Lord. She did not die. And her name is everywhere in the scriptures. Pastor Chris said something one time. He said, most women, when they do makeup and everything, they will think they are very beautiful. He said, they'll be happy. They'll just come out. And somehow they may deceive a few men. So the men will go, hey, hi, can I get a number? Do not be... We say, hello, hi. You make sense. Oh, you look good. Oh, the way you dressed to church today. Hey, I saw the people were feeling glory, but me, I was seeing glory. You know, all those things. Until you now say yes. They thought you were wise or you were beautiful. Along the line. One day his eyes will be opened. He will see beyond the scales. That's how they will quietly leave you. Or to be trusting God for you to not want the relationship to continue one day. I saw a video. The lady called. She messaged the guy. Sorry. She said, I don't think we can continue. So he looked at the message. He said, oh, really? She now said, oh, sorry. It was a mistake. He now said, oh, God, why? Why was it a mistake? It would have been true. Meaning he has been looking for a day that lady would just say, it's over. So that he would say, okay, I agree. Ladies, are you listening? I'm dwelling here small, very, very purpose. A lot of time when we hit men, you are happy. But you have to understand that you must know how to talk to a man. This is part of the laws of the spirit. Yes, it's God that created this law. He said, husband, love your wives. What did he say about wives? Submit to your husband. Submit. So talk to them with dignity. Every man will listen to you. Like Samson listened to Delilah. If you talk to them with dignity. Why are you laughing? All listen and listen. Did Samson not listen to Delilah? He listened. Hey Samson, with all the mozu, all the power. Your husband may have all the power. But if you know how to talk. There are some men that are almost causing accident on the road when they are going back home because they want to go and meet their wife. Some are in a high level roundabout till 1 a.m. because they don't want to meet their wife. You can choose the type of wife you will become. So learn to talk to men. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you may feel pain. Everybody's boyfriend is dressing well, your own. See the way he carved his hair. See his bare head. Oh God. Don't allow that make you start talking anyhow. Calm down. See that's why you were in his life. You that is fashionista, see what thing God give you. That is why you are there. Now you have a role to play as a helper. But if it's prayer, 100%, he doesn't joke with prayer. In fact, last month, your mother was sick. He spoke words. She was healed. But dressing, yellow and green. So, okay, should we give you the one that know how to dress well and don't know how to pray? Huh? Which one is a major problem? If anybody thinks about this thing, the person has a problem. Do you know some ladies that say, which one I could collect? Which one I could collect? How will you think which one you collect? At least me and Sabi pray. So may God give me the one who knows Sabi pray. I go manage them. May just Sabi dress. There was a story about an elevator, five-story building. An elevator taking people. The first stairs, when it went to the first stairs, they said the lady, it was a woman that was going within the five stairs. She was looking for the criteria for a man to marry. In the first stairs, it was a handsome man. She now say, take me up. The second stairs, the man was handsome and had money. She now say, please take me up. The third stairs, he was handsome, he had money, he had a good education. She said, can you take me up again? The next point, handsome, good education, romantic. Take me up again. We're still wondering what the woman was looking for. Handsome, good education, romantic, spiritual. What else are we looking for in a man? She said, can you take me up again? When she went to the fifth floor, she now saw plenty of women gathered there. It was written on the wall of the fifth floor. This is a proof that there is nothing that can ever please a woman. Then all the women were up there. They said, we came here too. We wanted to see what was in the fifth floor. Don't be that kind of woman. First floor, handsome man. Say, take me up. Second floor, handsome, rich. Take me up. Third floor, handsome, rich, education. Take me up. Fourth, handsome, rich, education, spiritual. Take me up. Fifth floor, she see plenty women there. And it was written, this is proof that nothing truly satisfies a carnal woman. It's the truth. Sometimes God gives us, let me just flow in this light. God gives us wonderful men, but they may not be all we want yet in manifestation. They may not be all we want yet. I heard a woman speaking about her husband. I couldn't stop laughing. In Abuja. Wonderful man of God. Big in the things he does now. She said, those days, so when people see my husband now, they'll just be like, hey, let God give me a man like this. Ladies will come and sow seed. May God give me a man like this. That she used to pity them even though she collects the seed. Because when God gave her a husband, he was not like this. She said his neck was inside. His rhema was not arranged. He will be saying revelation where she doesn't know where the revelation is going to or coming from. He will wear coats and call his suit. But she was still patient. Pretending like the rhema were okay. And now the man is globally celebrated and they are praying that God give me. But would they have been patient? She asked the question. Would they have been patient? We've seen wonderful ladies, spiritual ladies today in our world. Because of materialism, they take for an option worldly brethren instead of spiritual brethren. Because of worldly ideas, they take worldly brethren instead of spiritual brethren. And tomorrow they are telling God, God, why did you give me this kind of man? You saw it. You saw the trace. You accepted. And now you are asking, why would you give me such a man? If you are being sincere, did God give you such a man or did you receive such a man yourself? You did the receiving. He didn't give you such a man. He has said in his word that husband, love your wife as what? In other words, if the man doesn't know Christ, he should not be married to. He taught you in his word. You are the one that choose. You know, some people get angry that we don't allow our ladies marry people that are not serious Christians. Why will you be angry? You allow a lady marry a man like you right now if you are not serious? If most men are going to be sincere, the way they are now, some of them are not okay with God. They will not want their daughter to marry a man like them. This is the truth. You are dating three girls. Then you are following one church girl. You want to marry that one. They refuse you to marry her. You are even shocked they refuse you. Are you not? Go and celebrate God that they catch you. You should be happy to know that God is in that church. For the pastors to say that man, don't go close. Say, your pastor won't make I pray in tongues. I'm not gonna come again. You should go and celebrate that the pastor truly hears God. One time a man came and wanted to marry a lady in church. And of course I leave people to their decision. She discerned and saw that the man was not right initially. But you see, because of the pressure from the parents and the rest, she opted to try the man, give the man a try. That's why I warn you people here, if a man is not the spec according to the spirit, don't be in talking terms. Eve just spoke to serpent. Before you know, all of us are here today. Don't be in talking terms with any man that is not the spec according to the spirit of God. Are you listening to me? Talking terms is dangerous. You don't know when you send account number. And the gift of a man maketh what? Way for him. When he gives you money, he thinks he has legitimate right over you. And many young people are rising with this arrogance. They think money is everything. You hear young men say, if I make money, I will marry any kind of woman I want to marry. If you talk like that, you are a foolish young man. You can never marry the right woman with that mentality. You can never marry the right woman with that mentality. That's why I always tell young men, as long as you have something that can fare for you and your wife yet, children is not by force to come immediately. Get married. And if a woman tells you, I cannot marry you in this condition, go and do Thanksgiving on Sunday. He saved you from a devil. Don't get married to such a person. Because you know you are not small. Are you listening to me? Who told you God designed that a man must have so billion in his account before he gets married? Where did God write it in scriptures? That is why most ladies are opting for wrong option. You know, some people think God cannot give me a husband earning 250 and I'm earning 1 million. No, God should be so kind not to do that. You think in the realm of the spirit, God is checking account balance before he allocates husbands and wife? Are you guys listening to me tonight? That is why we are up. You know, some of these people, they use all foolish means to have money. When they have it, they now come to the church and pick God's choicest vessels for marriage. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Use all the foolish means. You see a young man trusting God to become really successful, God means. And probably he's not there yet. He's still working hard. One will just go and press two buttons and money will enter. Then he will come and say he wants to marry you. The one that has been in the things of God, following a good pattern, you are seeing what he's doing. That one, you say, what are you doing? You say, I'm doing something large. I'm importing and exporting. What you don't even, you have never seen the company with your eyes. And most of our brethren will fall a prey to such foolishness. And we're wondering if God is alive. I was going somewhere. That's why I've not forgotten where I was going to. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So don't try to impose on men. It's not God's will. It was never God's will. Are we together? And men, the Bible says, love your wife. It's a big word. It's a very ambiguous word to love. The Bible says God loved us while we were still what? When the Bible says love your wife as Christ loved the church, God did not love the church when the church was righteous. He loved the church when the church was what? Unrighteous. Alright? Meaning you must love your wife with all the infirmities. And love is ambiguous. When I say ambiguous, I mean while loving your wife, it doesn't mean you should be quiet when you see foolishness in display. And it doesn't mean you should roar like a lion or an African man in coat when you see foolishness in display. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You will definitely see foolishness if you must love your wife as Christ loved the church. See, some of us here, how many years in the faith? Yet God is still working with us. He's still holding our heads. We are still being crippled by one level of sin or another. It may happen. You may see one or two things you don't like in a woman. It doesn't mean that she's not the one anymore. No matter how God spoke, still small voice. Strong riverine voice.
My son, this is your wife.
No matter how you spoke. that wonderful angel will make you almost lose your mind at some point. You look at her and say, is it this woman that God truly gave me? Adam said, the woman you gave me, he put it on God's face, like he rubbed it on his face. The woman you gave me, the reason I'm leaving your work today. God did not even answer him. He's not a serious person. He said, the woman you gave me. If God gave Adam wife like this, first man, first woman, and the woman still made him to make mistake, it means that even if God says this is your wife, if you are not careful, you can still make mistake if you don't cultivate her the right way. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I'm talking about the men now. Loving your wife is beyond the word, the emotional side of love. Just doing like Indian film, churigara, churigara. It goes beyond all of those things. If you look at Ephesians 5 from 25, the Bible says, husband, love your wife as what? What did Nan do? He made her and cultivated the church by the word, by the washing of the word. Meaning he taught the wife, we're obligated as men to teach our women the word of God. Get them beautified by the word of God. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? That simply means when God gives you a wife and she's not okay, according to scripture, she will not be perfect. But what will you do? You cultivate that woman by the word of God. No matter where the woman is coming from, she has to be cultivated to fit into your assignment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, he now said in the next verse, he said, so that you present her to yourself without what? Spot. Or what? Or what? Holy and spotless. In other words, if you don't work on her, you will not enjoy the glory that comes with her being perfect. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And of course, what will make you a woman that can allow God's promises in Ephesians 5 be fulfilled? You being submissive. Not you being perfect. There's a difference between perfection and submission. As a woman, you may not be perfect, but if you are willing to be submitted, is an A. God may give me a woman that is not okay. She may be stubborn. But if the woman is submissive, I have no problem, because very soon she will be changed. But when the woman is not submissive, it becomes a problem. So young men, listen, some women God will give you may be very stubborn. They may be very, very stubborn. Now, that's not an indication that that's not your wife. That's still your wife. Don't run. She's still your wife. Remember, you must cultivate her by the word. Why we are seeing divorce out there is because most of them don't know the word of God. And sometimes when somebody came to church, he said, a woman, God said, that's my wife. I said, no, are you sure? He said, yes. Came to my office, the woman too stood up and said, sir, it's my husband, I saw it too. I said, no problem. I allowed two of them. And after 2 weeks later, boss, she doesn't know how to talk, blah, 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 idiot, basket. I called two of them. I said, what do you want? Say, sir, I want to humbly say that I misunderstood God. I said, brother, you did not misunderstand God. This is still your wife. Say, sir, but she have bad mouth. I said, Tom, who did you keep to teach her to speak well? All this while you're on your... Because the parents, who told you that parents are the ones that... You know, parents are supposed to try. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? But some of your wives, if God open your eyes, some of you here seated, some of your wife, if God open your eyes, the mouth they have is close to serpent. Now, immediately you meet them, don't run, no. Don't run. If they are submissive, it's okay. Because some of you know, especially church boys, if they say go and marry, you are waiting for the one that say, evening, sir. Church boys like girls like that. When they enter church, they say, appreciate you, sir. Celebrate you, sir. They will clean your shoe. You like girls like that. The ones that when you come to church, you see them sweeping. It's not like sweeping is bad in church. When they see they now kneel down with one leg, celebrate you, sir. This is the Sarah of my life. They like girls like that. But there are some again. You see them in church. They will pass you. Well, I don't know. Say, God forbid, may God give this one. They'll be doing like this. There's something I experienced. One time I was counseling a couple. The man was, he has seen one girl. He was doing NYC. They were dating before he went for NYC. When he went to NYC, he now saw girls that were calm. You know those spiritual sisters in camp. They call them, what do they call their group? SCCF. Where you hide. I'm not saying all of them are bad, but some will hide their bad character. They'll keep it wherever they are coming from. And be nice for 3 weeks.
So he went and saw. He started hating on his the one he left wherever he's coming from. He would start saying, I don't like the way you behave. See, I'm warning you. He started warning her. So she was telling me that she doesn't understand the anger these days, that he wants her anyhow. In fact, sometimes he wake up and say she needs to, that he doesn't even know whether they will marry himself again. I said, give me his number. I called. I said, have you seen a girl you like? He said, sir, good afternoon, sir. I celebrate you too. Have you seen a girl that you like? Sir, I don't understand the question. I say, have you seen a girl in NCCF that is submissive? Very nice. She gives you food when everybody's eating their own. She reduces her own for you. Have you seen, right? Say, sir, not really. I say, okay, explain it. Not really. Say, no, now I've not been close to her, and sir, I honestly I'm not seeing her as my wife, but she's a very decent lady. I say, be far from her. If you want your relationship to work, because you finish talking with one, say, I appreciate you, sir. You now pick call. See, I don't like what is wrong. What you are doing? Oh, you don't pick call. You don't. You just spoke with an angel. Now you are speaking with. You start doubting everything. No. God, you are speaking something. It's not everything that God will say. The silence of God too is God speaking. Let me tell you. There's a saying, a logical saying that says the devil you is better than what? It's very true. I'm telling you from first hand. Yes. One time I saw one lady many years ago. When the lady manifested, she didn't know I was seeing. I was shocked. That lady used to greet me like, I appreciate you, sir. That's why I learned all this thing. I appreciate you, sir. If I ever do my hand, maybe she will kiss my hand. I appreciate you, sir. I saw one manifestation. Just a dimension of the manifestation. I was speaking to men. Yeah, they say, hey, this one, they speak to men like this. And the guy's chest was bigger than my chest. I said, this one catch me. Don't kill me, oh. You see us throwing blow, Mike Tyson and in the house. I just respected myself and walked away. No, I was not hoping to marry, but you know, the way she was behaving, I was like, God, if you give me this one, mine, no go bad. But I did not do anything, oh. I was just looking at that. This one have good character. Hey, my mother go like this one, oh. You know, most men want to marry for their mother to like. Most young men. And my mother go like this one. Hi, she will be good friend with my mother. Yeah, see character, oh. When I saw a dimension of the manifestation, I said, Lord, you are faithful. You people don't know everybody in this church. Even who you are seated to now, you don't know them. There's a dimension they've not revealed to you. All of you that have best friends, say amen. Say amen now. I want to say something to you. There's a dimension of your best friend you have not known. Have you ever had a best friend that got into a relationship and you don't understand the best friend again? Eh? Say, Anita, what happened now? I beg, I know they like this stuff. Me and my husband to be in our best friend now. I know if they share something with you. Okay? We don't feel be friends again. They will now go to Biola or Thank God or Sonny. Just imagine Anita now and Sonny. You know, Anita telling Sonny that my friend have bad character. She have bad character. I done the manager and since. A bad girl, you see. So then when they break up with the boy, now the boy will not take it to the best friend. She said you get bad character. So at the end of everything, you are stranded. You can't go back to your best friend. You've lost your man. Empty. Oyo. We've seen things like that, isn't it? One time, a young man, I was pastoring the young man. He used to be strong in the Lord. Nine time relationship. I was single that time. Very single. And one day, they came for counseling. Then she was saying many secrets that we're talking about. Say, the other time you tell me about it, he was trying to eye her. She was not getting the point. She was hitting. I said, tell me more. Tell me more. Okay. Oh, you told that one too. She says, okay. Now, you know everything now. The two have become one. She was laughing. Yes, sir. I looked at him. He just put his head down. When he was leaving, he did like this. I said, no problem. You can go. The next day when he got, I said, if I tell you anything in my life again, my name is Professor. It's not Professor. I said, I didn't know that you had this. Your head can be carried away like this. I said, you won't tell him that secret. Ha! Oh boy, I fear you. I fear you. Fear who no fear. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you listening to me, young men? So sometimes the woman you see that is misbehaving in terms of character, give me the reason, I will not give. It's better than the one doing, I appreciate you, sir. Are you able to catch what I'm trying to say? That this is not an affirmation that ladies should be stupid, but you get my point. Be real. Crisis proof relationship. In fact, if you are in a relationship with somebody that never manifested one thing, be scared of that lady. Everything, she said, it's fine. No problem. No. She saw a message enter your phone that they say, hi, love. You say, no, it's not. So, no. Why would I be angry? Oh, everything is fine, though. You better pack your teeth and run. Shebi, people see where they killed a friend. Not just a friend, though. All those friends that we say, our wife, they kill all of them and join. They poison pepper soup. Prepared for him and our wife, their wife group. All those wicked men. They know the guy has like three. They say, our wife. Our wife, you don't come. Our wife association, they've threatened you people. Hallelujah to Jesus. So the imposing character from a woman should be very, very displaced from the community. Some of us learned it from our mothers, and it's very wrong. You cannot impose on a man. You can't. Especially a man that hears God. You can't. Are you listening to me? When you want to speak to such a man, it should be a suggestion, not you imposing. And now, what gets more even irritating is when you say something to a man, he doesn't do it, then you get angry. That's witchcraft. So you expect him to rule the house? Why do you think God made the man, not the woman, the head? Why? I was teaching about the father's love the other day. Can you even remember? That most homes where fathers are not available, watch especially the ladies. Something is going to be wrong with their life. I've seen it several times. That's why when the Bible was describing the father's God's love, he did not say the mother's love. He said the father's love. It's not like mothers don't love their children. Mothers love their children. They see you want to fall into a ditch, they carry you and cross the ditch and keep you on the other side. That's how mother's love is. Which one is right? Is or are? Is. Okay. Amen. Mother's love. Very nice love. What do you want? Ice cream. They'll rush and buy you ice cream and give you ice cream. Mother's love. So caring. That's why most of us that don't like discipline, we always go close to our mothers. We go close to your father, it's like a lion. That's why God put the balance. He put mothers here to comfort you. When fathers give you plenty, you now run to mother, you receive consolation. Come back to father, they'll hit you. Go to mothers, receive consolation. He knew why he did that. A son is about to cross gutter. The mother will carry the child. I help the child cross. A father will say, cross it. Jump now. Are you not a man? That's what a father will say. And many, the problem is that many people see the love of God like mother's love. Hey, he loves me. Oh, how? Even if I'm dead in sin, he still comes. Even if I am in my sin. Even if tomorrow I sin. It's mother's love you are describing. He that the father loves, he chastises. Meaning God came for your sin, but he wants the sin out. So God loves you, but to the end that your sin is gone. But if you view the love from a wrong perspective, you keep on living in sin, thinking the grace of God should what? Abide. Thinking that, and of course it's true, anytime you sin, you still go back to God. He will accept you. But is that the will of God for your life? Does God always want you in sin? No. But do you know he always accept you? He will. The Bible says when we sin, we have an advocate with Jesus, the righteous. He will always accept you. But the reason why he came is so that you actually stop sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? There was a video of a father. His son was close to a river. And the son was like, Dad, I'm scared of this water. Scared of the river. He took the boy. He said, you are scared? He said, yes. He threw him into the water.
The boy was struggling. The mother came and said, why is this wicked? Hitting the man. He said, don't worry. He will swim. And the woman was shocked. The boy was surviving. He was swimming. He said, can't you see he's surviving? Because the father has vision a day he will not be around. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Or he will not be available. And the boy may be in a terrible situation. What will make the boy to be safe from that situation if he's not around? He knows how wicked the world can be. So he wants the boy to start learning how to become a man by himself. But the mother came and was hitting the father. And he now said to the woman, he said, you want to save your son? She said, then he looked at her. He looked at the water. She ran away for her life. Because he was about to carry her too and throw inside the water. Are you here tonight? So God loves us so much. And that is why he's insisting that we stop sin. Insisting. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Done everything in place and he's still what? Insisting that we stop sin. Are you all listening to me tonight? Are you understanding me tonight? So there are laws. There are laws in the spirit. If you go against the law, you will not see the right kind of harvest. What I mean is that if God said the man should be on top or the head of the relationship and the woman becomes the head, there will be a problem. Because God's wisdom said the man should be the head. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you listening to me? Very important. And you are not head because you have big head. No. You are head because you imbibe in you the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God that can cause you to cover a woman, to lead a woman. Without the wisdom of God, you have issues leading a woman. Because any wise woman will not want to be used. She will want to be led by the Spirit of God, not to be used. Without the wisdom of God, you actually use a woman. You will not lead her. You don't know how to lead her. But with the wisdom of God, you will lead her to become better. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Your leadership will cause her to be 10 times better. This is the solution against all this divorce we are seeing in the world. This is the solution. We are hearing every day, Jay-Z have divorced. This one does not have a wife. Davido does not have a wife. All this rubbish. They are not living by the wisdom of God. We are the light of the world. A city said what? We cannot be. Are you listening to me? Let me try to round up. I was in Romans 7. So let me end with this. Go back there. So you understand what I was saying about Paul writing to a church that were trying to live by the law, isn't it? Remember? And I said, them living by the law at that point were them living on a wrong ideology, which is reciprocal to what? Sinking sand. Can you remember? Because the Bible says any ideology that is not of God is relatable to sinking sand. And if you stand and build your life on that ideology, when the pressures of life come against you, they will hit you and get you down. Because you were planted on what? Sinking sand. But he said when you build your life on God's word, when the flood of life comes, it will not travel because you are on the rock. The word of God is relatable to a rock in that part of scripture, Luke 6. That simply means if you want to live a beautiful and wonderful life, you must make sure you incline your heart to the wisdom of God. That's why Paul speaking here in Romans 6:14, he said, and sin shall not have dominion over you again because you are not under what? The law. But under what? Meaning if you try to live by the law, a wrong ideology, what will happen? Sin will have what? Dominion over you. Alright? So I will tell people, don't live by the law. I was trying to affirm that in Romans 10. Go back to Romans 10. In verse 2, they had a desire for God, but not according to knowledge. Alright? Displays desire. Not according to knowledge. Verse 3. And I said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish what? Have not what? Submitted to the righteousness of God. So they were ignorant of God's righteousness. That's why they were living by the law. And that's why in verse 1, Paul said, my prayer for Israel is that they be saved. It's so disheartening that today, do you know some people prefer to use stones to pray than the Holy Spirit to pray? Yes. It's a proof that we've not understood grace. Because grace or Christ is the end of the law. Law there means human means, reaching God by human means and human measures. Types and shadows. Like in the Old Testament, for instance, they were killing lamb every once in a year. That lamb represented Jesus who takes away the sins of the world. Now, in the New Testament, if you kill a lamb, it means you don't understand the death, burial, and resurrection of what? Jesus Christ.
If anybody is killing a lamb today, something is wrong with that person. He may sincerely be serving God, but he doesn't understand the righteousness of God. He has desire for God, but not according to what? Knowledge. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to? What if we see somebody in the New Testament washing people's hand and nothing about physicality should be included in the New Testament. Not even water, not oil, not stones, not sand, not salt. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Nothing. Because they were types and shadows. Alright? Was it Hebrews 10 and 9? Let's see it briefly. Is it 9:10, right? 9:10. Let's see it briefly. Before we close. Concern, alright, let's see from verse 9. I want everybody to read. No, from verse 8, so that we'll understand better. I want everybody to understand it. In the Amplified Rendition. By this, let's read together, I want to go. By this, the Holy Spirit signifies that the way into the holy place, the true holy of holies, and the presence of God has not yet been what? Why was it not disclosed? What is the proof? As long as the first and outer tabernacle is still what? Standing. That is, as long as the Levitical system of worship remains a recognized institution. You see that? Meaning, as long as they are doing those old practices, it was a proof that what? The Holy Spirit had not indicated the way into the what? Holiest of all. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Next part of scripture. Then it says, for this first or outer tabernacle is a symbol that is what? According... So you know what archetype and paradigm means, right? Huh? Have you seen archetype before? When people sketch an idea of what they want to build, you don't see the kitchen included, it's just a sketch. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You don't really find the details of the building in the sketch, isn't it? So the law is more like a sketch. The details of everything is not really in the Old Testament. But if you come into the New Testament, you see every details of the sketch in the Old Testament. Do you know now we are understanding the sketch in the Old Testament? For instance, the lamb slain, we know why they had to kill a lamb, because the details is in the New Testament. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now, in the Old Testament, now they use water, putting people inside water. In the New Testament, we understand that if anybody be in, is a what? Not in water. Water does not make people new. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Incapable of perfecting the conscience and renewing the inner self of the worshipper. Meaning those things were not even doing anything in anybody. Next part of scripture. It's in the Bible. For the gifts sacrifices and deal only with what? Food and wine. And what? May what? For what? Why was it imposed? To help the worshipper. Until what? That is the time of the new order which Christ will establish reality of what these things foreshadow, a better covenant. Let's read well. I was rushing. That is the time of the new order when Christ will establish the reality of what these things foreshadow, a better, we're talking about the new covenant. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So in the new covenant, what did God do? He what? He has established the reality of what the things in the Old Testament foreshadow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Or are you confused? So if you look at the New Testament, you understand the Old. That's what the Bible is saying here. Look at the next part of scripture. Alright, no, go back there. There's something I didn't capture. It talks about drinks, food and drinks, various washings, various ritual washings. You see that? Various ritual. We don't need anything about water, but it had to happen before Jesus finds expression. So Christ is the end of all of those practices. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, in the New Testament now, when you see somebody doing those things, it's an indication that he doesn't understand what Jesus has done. And Satan will use that against him because he's the father of all lies. The power of God is not in any soap. It's not in water. The power of God is not in oil. The power of God is not, you can name them. Where is the power of God? In you. Your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. You see, we are not even shouting it. We are used to those things. Some of you now will bless water the way you hold it and run from this church. You go and start pouring it everywhere in your house. Yes, the anointing can come upon water. Let me have this. It can come upon this. But who is holding it? I'm the one holding it. That's why the anointing is in it. Do you know, as I'm holding this now, no demon can come and hold it again if I'm conscious of the anointing? It will affect that demon wrongly. But I cannot say this is what is the anointing. It is because it's on my hands that what is anointed. The Bible says, aprons and handkerchiefs from Paul, they healed the sick and casted demons from the lives of people. Aprons and handkerchiefs from who? Paul. Did Paul start selling handkerchief and apron? No. Paul understood that because I touched it, that's why the power of God was there. This is your suit and the anointing is on it. I hope you know that. That sometimes you see us, you know, men of God remove their suit and do like this. You'll be wondering, what is that? They know the suit has contacted the anointing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. So they were living by the law, Paul said. And that is why the things they don't want to do, they started seeing the consequence. If you're not living by the wisdom of God, there's a consequence. The things he didn't want to do, he found himself what? Doing them. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Let's go back there. Verse 15. Let's pull up scripture. It says, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the Lord that is good, blah, blah, blah. Just keep on hitting fast. If I say stop. Next, because of time. Next part of scripture. Okay, now go back to 22. See what Paul says here. Very wonderful. He said, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Meaning, that inward man of the heart wants to do the will of God. Alright? That is the spirit, who we are in the supernatural. But see what he now says. Next part of scripture. He said, but I see another word. Another word. Another word. Another word. In my word. Maybe we'll understand what members easier. Give me the Amplified Rendition or NLT. But I see another different law and rule of action in the members of my body. You see that? In its what? And what? Waging war against the law of my mind. And subduing me and making me a what? Of the law of what? Which is within my members. You see that? For instance, let's mention a law. The law of gravity. What does it say? Huh? Everything that goes up, can I raise something up so that it comes down? No, something, maybe a book or... Is this a Bible? No, give me a book. It says anything that goes up will come down. This is the law of gravity, isn't it? It's a law. Huh? It's down. All right, you can take it. Thank you. Now, there's another law that scientists discovered that it is possible for something to go up and not what? Come down. What is the law that causes aeroplanes to give aeroplanes the ability to move on air? Huh? Keep quiet. What is the law? Scientists, let's talk. Before you disgrace us. What's that law called? What is Donald? Donald, what has happened to you? You've missed it. Jerome, what's that law? The law of aerodynamics. Come and say it, let them hear. I was hearing it. Lord, he had student. Say it again, let them hear.
Aerodynamics.
Sir. My son, say it, let them hear.
Aerodynamics.
The law of what? Aerodynamics. Kunajiko. People that have pride are not responding. Everybody say aerodynamics.
Yes.
Some of you are saying, I know. That's a law. That, what does it say? Okay, how many of you know that law? You say you know it. Come and state what the law says. Come. Well, you are learner. Who knows the law here? State the law. Carry microphone. It's not only book, word of God you'll be learning here. We'll be learning book too. It's your realm. Go and arrange the mic so that you shine. Opportunity comes but once. With all the phone we have, everything. See, some of you are googling. Hey! Donald, you can do expo like this. Jesus Christ. Go ahead, please, my son.
Okay, sir. The law of aerodynamics.
Video him.
Jesus. So the law of aerodynamics is a system that propels a body with escape velocity intact to stay afloat in air.
Okay. Do you hear what he said? Say it again, oh.
Okay, the law of aerodynamics is a law that builds a system that holds a body to stay afloat in air, having escape velocity intact.
You are saying no. Is that what you are saying? Because you have checked Google. What did you see in Google? Call. Check the principle. You just saw this one in Google now, so check the principle. All right, celebrate him. He's 100% right. I remember that time in Ultimate Sukkot, we used to state the theory like this, that what happens is that the fans of the aeroplane gathers air, so much air, that the weight of that air now becomes so much that it can pull the plane up and sustain the plane when it gets into the air. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that's the reason for the blades there, you see. It gathers an intensity of air. The weight becomes so strong that it can pull the plane and sustain it up there. Fulfilling all of the laws in the whatsoever principle that exists. Are we together? What I'm trying to say is that there's another law now scientists discovered that can make it possible for an object to go up and not come down. That's how it is. There's a law called the law of the spirit of life. In verse 2 of Romans 8, what did he say? Let's read it together. Romans 8, 2. Want to go? For the law of the spirit of life. Has what? Has what? Set me free. From the law of what? Just in the NKJV, so that we're out from here in no time. Want to read? For the law of the spirit has what? You see, there's another. But Paul said in verse 23 of Romans 7, he said, another law worketh in my members that keep me down, subjected to the flesh. Verse 1 of the scripture had said before, there is now no what? Condemnation. To them who are in what? Because they don't walk after, but according to the word. And he said, that's not enough. Even if you're walking in the spirit, you must understand the laws of the spirit that can determine the result. Laws are principles that we can use to predict a desired outcome, isn't it? Alright, so now when we understand the laws of the spirit, we can have the results of the spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We can have the results of the spirit. It said, for the law of the spirit of life. That's why the next part of scripture goes to law. The law of the spirit of life. Because we're supposed to walk in the spirit in verse 1, isn't it? And that's why there's not going to be what? Condemnation. Then it goes further to say, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from what? Law of sin and death. Now look at verse 3. Everybody, let's read together. Want to go. For what the law could not do, in that it was what? God did by what? In the likeness of what? What did he do? He condemned sin. Even what? You see that? The law could not do it. But Jesus came to this world. God sent Jesus. He came to this world. He destroyed sin in the flesh. And he brought us into the supernatural. But that's not enough. There's a law of the spirit. If we abide by the law of the spirit, it will what? Cause us to be free from the law of what? Sin and death. And that is what we are teaching tonight. Everything we are teaching you are realities of the spirit. Are laws of the spirit. Are you listening to me? If you follow the wisdom of God, you will live a glorious life in the spirit. Everything in the spirit is accessible by the word of God. The word of God opens to us the riches of the spirit. The supernatural that is made available for us. You were designed to live in the spirit. Are you listening to me? And before we go, living in the spirit is not living like a ghost. Because when we say living in the spirit, some of you are thinking of ghosts. No. Living in the Spirit means to be aware of your place in Christ Jesus and walking in that reality on earth as it is in heaven. Simple. Jesus was living in the Spirit. He still ate fish after resurrection. He ate fish to prove that he was still human. Didn't he eat fish? He ate. To prove to us that to live in the Spirit doesn't mean you should not eat food. He ate food. Yet he was still in the Spirit. And he said, as I am, so are you. Where? So you can be called a spirit being, yet you should eat food. Man shall not live by what? But bread involved. But not bread alone. If you are living by bread alone, there is problem. And if you are living by word of God alone, there is still problem. You can't say every day, I eat only the word. In the name of Jesus, I eat the word this morning. Breakfast, the word. Afternoon, the word. Okay. You get to a realm where the word of God is forever settled. And that is heaven. You die. That's what I mean. To capture the supernatural is not just by fasting. Revelation and what? Feasting on the word. Fasting. If you don't understand this, you will fast. Oh, the shape God gave you in the spirit, you will never see it in the flesh. That's why some of us had to reduce. Like I told you, I was doing 3 days dry every week. One day I asked myself, Simon, what if you die? Calmly, a still small voice asked me a question. What do you think these people will do? And I heard an answer. They will all marry and forget about me. I said, okay, I'll eat today. I broke my fast. I'm not saying I was free from that day. I've done it. Church, pastors, have you not done 3 days dry? I've almost killed these leaders in this church. We've done it. The first day we did 3 days dry, I saw how people almost died but living. We've done it. Now if I tell them 3 days dry, they'll be happy, isn't it? Hallelujah to Jesus. Because if you live only by food, it's a problem. Food every time. Money, boah, eba. Afternoon, boah, semo. Evening, boah, beans and plantain. Money, boah. Afternoon, boah. Evening, boah. A friend said, people that eat 3 times a day have a spiritual problem. I don't agree with that. I'm just saying. You know, we've trained ourselves in a way that we like to even feel light naturally. Imagine you are going somewhere to have a meeting and your stomach is full. You know, I train myself in a way that even if I'm going for a meeting with a logical meeting in a physical office, I don't like to feel food in my stomach. That's how I've trained myself. Imagine I'm going to talk to some council of elders about something and I load myself with eba before I went there. I will feel like I will not have missed this opportunity. Because I'll be feeling dead. There's a research recently that says that when you fast, you become more healthier than people that eat. Because when you eat, you are not allowing your digestive system to rest. Every time, intestine, lower intestine, movement in your stomach. Your stomach is just moving. Some are crying. I beg. You have to allow your system rest sometimes. Don't give yourself, oh, wow. You did get, oh boy, my brother's trying. Oh, wow. Afternoon, oh, wow. And you know the worst part of it, those of you that are chewing gum, you don't know what you are doing when you chew chewing gum, right? Because you didn't read sciences very well. Except you want to release some things in your stomach, you can do it and throw it away. Chewing gum is a very, see, I'm still calling it chewing gum. I don't even know, what is the real name? Eh? See people, you people are saying bubblegum. All of you are hypocrites. What is the name we know this to it? See, instrumentalists are saying bubblegum. Chewing gum. One day I was chewing the thing, I bit my tongue, blood came out. I said, God, I will never do this again in my life. Blood, literal blood, I poured blood, it came out. I said, just imagine. No, not food. And I was eating it that day because I wanted to release. I ate apple and I was traveling. So I was heavy while driving. And I forgot that the thing has finished its work. I kept on chewing. And I bit my tongue. Ah, blood started coming out. I said, God have mercy on me. Do you know that thing affected me to a point they had to choke me injection?
It pained me so much. And I said, this is what people are chewing. Mr. Bello, those days, our chemistry teacher, he said, you wake up in the morning, you just catch your gum. Do you know, something has ministered to your brain that you are eating something. Then your system, digestive system, everything will be waiting for food to come inside. And when they don't find food, they'll start eating up. I don't know whether it's true, the way doctors are looking at me. Am I right? Thank you. See, I know Buko. He said, they'll just be, when they don't see food, they'll be biting anything they see in your system. Sometimes girls are in church. If I catch you, I've told you in this church, I catch you. You see me, John? Yes, sir. Word. It's not right. Are you listening? The worst are those that chew, chew, chew. Ah, woo, pwah. It's wrong. So learn to minimize those things, right? They're not these chocolates, you know, some of you chocolate. In fact, you can be licking chocolate. Things are bad. Ice cream. They say, boy, you should not taste sugar. You, ice cream, 247. That's why it's almost every, I don't know how to put this thing. As well, let me not say what will give me a problem. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you guys here tonight? Are you listening to me tonight? So wake up. The way you eat should be very appropriate. Bow your heads and thank God for His word. Give Him praise. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Your word is a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. In Jesus' gracious name.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.